Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Mother. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, I was looking outside.
Awesome to be with you again this morning. We had a great service on yesterday, did we not? Woo! It was good.
It was all about wisdom.
Amen. And we all need it. Praise the Lord. We all need it. We all need wisdom. Wisdom like David. Wisdom like Solomon. We need that Solomon wisdom to get us through the day. God is in charge of, and the word that God gave me early this morning was, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. We want to make our praise glorious to the Lord. We want God to know that we love him, that we are his children, that we believe and trust in him. You know, that even when we're gracefully broken, he is the one that puts us back together again. So grateful to be a child of God in this season. Mother, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm just thinking about November, and we're going to set those clocks again.
Whew, yes.
We'll go, forward?
It's going forward. Yeah, fall forward, spring back, fall forward. That's it. So you're going to get an extra hour of sleep.
Amen.
You're going to get an extra hour of sleep, at least for almost 6 months. Not quite, because I think it's, November, December, January, February, March. And then we go back in April, right? So about 5 months. I think they need
Sounds
to make it a nice even 6 months. If we got to go forward and got to spring back, it should be at least a good 6 months each. Don't you agree? I think we should have sprung forward when spring happened because we came into fall. I believe September 21st was fall. And I do believe we should have been. And as fall hit, that's when we should have been springing forward.
Amen.
And that way it makes it nice and simple. Makes it nice and simple. You know, we got to make everything difficult. I should say the government has to make everything difficult. We can make it all simple. When the spring comes, we spring forward. When the fall comes, we fall back. That's it. Done. Simple. But anyway,
Amen.
Mother, would you please pray us in, and we're going to get started. But before Mother prays us in, so you can get your Bibles, we are going to be coming out of Isaiah chapter 41 through 42, verse 25. And
Amen.
Then we will have 109th Psalm, verses 26 through 31, and our title is coming out of the 109th Psalm this morning. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 3 through 6, and we'll be in Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to tell y'all, we getting into some real good words. Woo!
Amen.
I mean, it's serious.
Amen.
You know, Galatians, as all of you know, it's where your fruit of the Spirit, your full armor. It's a lot going on in Galatians. Paul don't play with the Galatian church. He was pretty strict with the Corinthian church. But with the Galatian church, he just breaks it all down, you know, and tells them like it is, because false doctrine was sneaking into the church. And, you know, that's the one thing Paul was very much about. No false doctrine. Don't bring in anything that's not from Jesus Christ and not of Jesus Christ. He was not playing. And they were pulling some stuff. And he was like, uh-uh. As he would say today, not today, Satan. Paul was playing. Isaiah didn't play either. You know, he told us about it, empowering God. He told us not to walk in fear. You know, God told us through Isaiah not to walk in fear. So many times we walk in fear, afraid that God's not going to provide. God's going to provide. I trust him. I trust God. And I know that he has never, ever in my life let me down. And I don't believe he'll let me down now. You know, God is good. He knows us. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. So we got to trust God. Started, Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you to pray us in, and then I'll be back in the Old Testament.
Amen. Good morning, saints. Good morning, people of God. This is a beautiful, beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. You are Father. You are Abba. You're the great I Am. You do everything right. God, you cannot fail us. All we have to do is take it to the throne and not to the throne. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name. I glorify your name for waking me up and giving us another day to get it right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for strength, your strength. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And I just praise you this day. Lord, bless Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse, and bless Table Life Ministries as we grow the way you want us to grow. And I thank you, God, for blessing this lesson, giving us an opportunity to read your word one more time. We give you thanks, honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Let's get started, family. What a word today. And we're coming out of the book of Isaiah. Starting in chapter 41. We are just tooling along. We are moving on. Accomplished and what we have left over. We started on page one of this Bible. I think, believe it, page one. It might be a little bit further because there was a lot of talk.
Amen.
So, we started on page one of this Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And we are now on page 11. We do it with love because God is love. God is love. And he wants the best for us. And all we have to do is say, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I give you all of me, Lord, and I'm not going to walk in fear because I know that you walk beside me. So let's get into the word, and this is what it says. Keep silent before me, O coastland, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east, who in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings, who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to redo them and pass safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. Oh, come on now. The last, Jesus Christ. With the last, I am he. Hallelujah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The coastland saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor. Come on now. And said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smoothed with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, ready for the solder. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. But you, Israel, are my servants, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You know, the song, Friends of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And we look here in Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 8. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. God called Abraham my friend.
Mm-hmm.
What an awesome thing to be, a friend of God. It says, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. What a mighty God. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek from and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. God is saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, I help you. That's what God is telling us today. Fear not, I will help you. You don't have to worry. And the song said, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Trouble don't last always. But you have a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. No matter what may come your way, your life is in his hands. Thank you, my brother, Kurt Franklin, for those words. God is in charge. We don't have to worry, and we definitely don't have to walk in fear. He tells us in this word through the prophet Isaiah, fear not, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You know, the Redeemer was Jesus. Even back in Isaiah, the Son of Man was speaking. The Son of Man was prophesied. The Son of Man was talked about because, as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. John told us this. And he says, behold, I will make you into a new thrashing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thrash the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the land, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are God. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He chooses you is an abomination. Come on, not talking about that little wicked, sneaky devil. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun, he shall call on my name, and he shall come against princes of as no mortal, as the potter treads clay. Who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and former times that we may say he is righteous? Surely there is no one who shows. Surely there is no one who declares. Surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked, and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion. God is not an idolater. He don't believe in idolatry. He has told them in his word, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's what he said. That's what he meant. He didn't quibble. He didn't hesitate. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Them little G's get folks in trouble all the time. And your little God can be anything from your car to money to your house to all the stuff that you accumulate. You can worship it more than you worship God. Folks won't go to church because they got to clean their car on Sunday. Folks don't want to go to church because the game is on, and I don't want to miss the game. Well, I can tell you, I wish I had missed the game on yesterday when my Bears got beat down by the Super Bowl winners, tore us up. I think we wound up with 6 of 42. They got 42, I believe it was 42-6, which was really quite embarrassing. We got a fantastic little quarterback who is getting beat up because folks don't want to spend the money to get him a good offensive line. You know, I don't mean it to not talk football, but it breaks your heart when you see your team losing. We don't want to lose with God. We don't want to be the team that got beat up. You know, and I think there was another big-time blowout in Florida. You know, just craziness was getting beat up yesterday. You know, but we all understand that everybody can't win. You know, when we go back and look at some of the scores, I'm sorry, we were 41-10. It was 41-10. It was 38-6, I think, when I left to go to a concert last night. Wonderful, wonderful concert. Great, great music. The gentleman that played music was the music director for Billy Graham Ministries. Wonderful. It was really, really nice. Very, very calming, and, you know, everybody had a great time. I enjoyed watching the choir from Calvary Academy. There was a little girl that stood on the front row, and all I could say was she was a praiser. You know, she was trying to be still. She was trying her best, to just sing. But all of a sudden, that little hand went up, and she just got to rocking. I thought, oh, my God, she is a praiser. And I was sitting next to the mother of our church, her daughter, and she said, oh, yeah, she goes to my church. And, yeah, she does that on Sundays, too. I said, uh-oh, so she's just a praise and worshiper, you know. And I just had to go back to school to let us understand that God is in charge of everything, you know.
Amen.
You know, God will not give, he will give you some stuff to get your attention. And it was the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos game. And the Dolphins scored 70 points.
Amen.
That's, but in the NFL, 70 to 20. I say it again, 70 to 20. It was a 50-point score. You know, not that we can talk too much on my side when we got beat by 31, but still, you know, 50 points. So I tell you, God is in charge of everything, even the football score. So when he says act right, we got to act right. That means that the Bears got to practice a little bit more. And Broncos got to practice a little bit more.
Amen.
And next time when we come up, right now, we are 0-3. We have not won one game. And we got beat by our rivals, the Packers. And it's pretty bad. So, you know, we got some work to do. And, you know, I don't want them to get rid of my little quarterback because he's good. The problem is they try to set him to play that a play. Be a player that he's not. They're not using his strength. Listen to me, y'all. You can say I have sons, right? But I just had to go there. It's just like God. God is in charge. You know, he is the coach, and Jesus is our quarterback. But we are always fighting against the devil. We are always against him in the game of life. And when your quarterback is passing you the ball, you got to run. And you got to run as hard as you can through all those demons until you knock them down like bowling pins. You can't play. You can't be, you know, too cute. No, we got to fight. We are in a battle. We are in, as if we want to call it, for instance, this fall, in football season, we are in the game of our life, and we can't lose by 50 points. We can't lose by 31 points. We got to be the winner because it is God always wins. And the word of God tells us in our life lesson in Isaiah 41:4, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. Three times the book of Revelation appropriates this title, the first and the last for Jesus. Revelation 1:17, Revelation 2:8, and Revelation 22:13. And he says, he who was from the beginning and always shall be knows how to rescue us from all our troubles. God sent his son. I'm rewatching the show, Chosen. And, you know, some things are a little off and not quite biblical, but the overall is pretty good. It's very good, actually. And, you know, I love how, you know, even in the show, how they take the scripture and mold it. And it is pretty good. I was watching it on the other day, and I thought, okay, they're getting there. But then when we go, I want to go over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Woo, good word. Mm-hmm. And then when we go over to chapter 2, verse 8. Excuse me. gotta turn these Bible pages. This is real Bible, not the my little tablet and my iPad or my computer. This is, I like turning and holding on and touching the pages. And this one was to the church of Samaria, Smyrna. And it says this in 2 and 8, to the angel of the church of Smyrna, right? These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. That right there lets us know it's Jesus, the first and
Amen.
The last. He's always been there, and he always will be. And when we go to chapter 22, verse 13, it lets us know, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus, always there. Isaiah 41 and 10, but fear not, for I am with you. Each of us will face fear at some point. It is what we do with it that matters most.
Amen.
We must claim our position as God's children. We have the power to overcome fear when we apply its word to our lives. In God's empowering presence is the life example from Dr. Stanley. When did you last feel the presence of God in your life? I don't mean a merely intellectual recognition that God is with you, but he is everywhere, but rather, when did you last recognize in your heart that God is personally, intimately aiding in you? Ooh, I can say on yesterday, on Saturday, God has been with me. There were some things I needed, couldn't find, and God said, look right there. I mean, when you say something is right in your face, right in my face, I mean, if it had been a snake, it would have bit my leg that close. It would have bit my arm and might have got me on the teeth. It was that close.
Amen.
And I'm like, okay, God, thank you. And we wore our purple choir shirt on yesterday. My job, where I work, my shirts are all purple. So I had all my purple all together, and I couldn't discern what was my church shirt from my work shirt. It was like my eyes could see but couldn't see. But I didn't realize I had set my church shirt close to where I knew I had to take it because I had to iron it. And there it was, sitting right where I left it, folded up, right at the end of one of my dresser. I had purple shirts, and I had it set aside because I knew that it would blend in with everything else because I have a lot of purple for work, including purple shoes. Don't tell me God didn't do it. Whew, Lord, thank you. And it says, and if you are like many believers, if they have been a while since you really felt his presence. Too many people go about their lives without a genuine sense of God's presence. What a tragedy. Repeatedly in the scripture, we see that whenever God calls someone into his service, he first reminds the person of his enduring presence. Stories of Moses. We see it in Joshua. And y'all know Joshua 1 through 9, that's my scripture. Gideon, Judges 6 and 12. Jeremiah 1:68, to name just a few. These men discovered as we can that the awesomeness of God's presence energizes us for our work. What does God repeatedly assure his followers of his presence? He does so because we need to be reminded of the reason for our confidence. Each time God calls a servant into action, he essentially says, you can be strong and courageous because I am with you. Victory isn't about your ability, your strength, your skill, your armor, your gift, or your dedication. It has to do with your presence. You can be strong because I will be strong in you. Praise the Lord. When Jeremiah trembled at the thought of the difficult ministry ahead of him, The Lord strengthened them with these words. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah 1:19. God knows how difficult life can be, and he knows every detail of each struggle you will ever face as a believer. In Christ Jesus, you can trust that your Heavenly Father will keep his word. He is with you right now. He always will be. As he promises in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ooh, Jesus, thank you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:5-6. And as we go back to our word, it says, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, that he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Can we say, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Hallelujah. Who, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise. Can I say it again? His praise in the coastland. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his wheel like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all the vegetation. I will make the rivers coastland, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in God's images, who say to the molded image, you are our God. Hear your deaf and look, you blind, that you may see who is blind but my servant. For deaf as my messenger whom I send, who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, doing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable, that this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned. But they would not walk in his way, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured on them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. And as we go back to a life lesson, chapter 42, and I turn it over to Mother Valerie, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, Isaiah 42:3. We never need to worry that when we humbly come to Christ for forgiveness or restoration or strength or wisdom, that he will despise our weakness and refuse our request. He treats the bruised and the scorned with tenderness. Hard times come when we run out of what we need to live. We hunger, we thirst, and so we cry out to God. God does not promise to spare us these times, but rather to sustain us in them. Praise God. God is a sustainer. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. And he wants you to know that he will never leave you or forsake you. And when we call on his name, he will be there. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. We got to have that. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. We got to praise God wherever we are. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Amen. God is just good. I was listening to 42:8. It says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. It's just like when Moses people and those people were praying to a calf. I'll not give my glory to carve and my praise to a carved image. God destroys that because he's not going to allow that to happen. He will not allow that to happen. Psalms 109:26-31. Help me, O Lord my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servants rejoice. Let my accusers be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. Proverbs 26:3-6, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sins a message by the hand of a fool, cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. My Lord, Galatians 3:1-29. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law and by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. I mean, you got to believe God. You have to believe the word. You have to. That's all we stand on, and that's all we have is his word. And that's all God wants us as children, to believe what he says. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith, sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you, all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And that's what I was saying. We have to live by faith. Faith is just believing. They said, what is faith? Well, faith is believing God. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It talks about faith all the time. We have to believe as the children of the Most High God. You have to believe what your Father is saying. If he says he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do it. The scripture is real, and Jesus is real. God is real. Brother, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed to angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? And certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Scriptures have confirmed all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, then you are a son, you are a daughter. If you are a believer, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as was baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're all one. I'm going to Life Lessons, Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Some may say that you have habits. A direct contradiction in the Bible. Bible can contradict itself. Well, not quite. Both statements can be true, although in different situations and at different times. Takes a wise person to know which one applies. Life lesson, Psalms 101:27. That they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. God do a lot of things that people don't believe God does. But he do. It's just like when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God did it. God Almighty did it. God did it. And people don't think that God, you know, give judgment, but he does. He tells you in his words that eventually that this world will end. It said, oh, the world has been going on for 2,000 years. Yeah, that's right. A day with the Lord is as one, 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day. So the world's been going on, what, 2 days? God don't see the way we see things. It says God don't judge a person the way we judge. God looks at the heart. So we've been here for what, 2 days? It's in that.
Well, a little longer than that, but a little longer than that, but we've been here.
Okay.
But you know, the thing is that people get caught up and not see the bigger picture. The big picture is that God created everything. When they can talk about the dinosaurs, it's in the Bible. You just have to read the whole thing. When God created everything, he created everything. You think about this. He created all the animals. He created it all. And when God was ready for a new, he got rid of the old. You know, what do you think we're driving on? Fossil fuel is what? Dead dinosaurs. That's all it is. And, you know, we got to understand that God gave it as a resource. God does what God does for purposes and reasons. But he will take us back to the dark age if we don't start acting right. You know, you got all this technology and all this stuff. But people forget that God is the one that gave you the knowledge to create it, and that everything that you think is new could also be old. All you have to do is look at the pyramids, and folks still trying to figure out how did this ancient culture make them. And pyramids are all over the world. They're not just in Egypt. We got a pyramid right here in Illinois. We got pyramids all over the place, and they're still trying to figure out how were they made. If it is not God's will to give you that knowledge, you'll never know. And you never will know what's in each and every one, because it's none of your business. So many times folks get caught up, and all it is grave robbery. And it's, you know, how would you feel if somebody came and disturbed your parents' grave, disturbed your parents' final resting place, your child's final resting place? But folks are always in different cultures digging up folks' loved ones because they want to know how old they are and what this and that. Maybe it's none of your business. Maybe you need to let people rest in peace. But you got so much crazy, Mom. You got so much crazy, Mother. I'm giving it back over to you for the rest of your life, Leslie.
Amen.
But that just, oh.
You know, wisdom comes from God. And if you want to know something, if you really want to know something, why don't you ask God? People don't understand. They don't understand that all you got to do is go to God. He'll answer you. He'll send somebody to answer you. Sometimes it can be a child. But you will get an answer. It might not be the answer you want, but you get an answer if you ask God. People say, well, how do God speak? All you got to do is be still and listen and know that I am God. God will answer you. Now, that's a fact of life. He will answer you if you want to really know, because wisdom comes from God. If you want to know something, like he keep on telling you over and over and over and over, don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Mm. God's not so busy. I mean, I know there's so many people in the world. But you, this little old you, little tiny bitty you, you are important to God. You really are.
Mm-hmm.
He regards every single one of us, and he can listen to all of us at one time. You know why? Because he's God. He's God, not you. I know I wouldn't want to be like Job. I wouldn't want to challenge God. I want to be a friend of God. And when this world ends, I want to go to God. And my brother keeps saying, well, you ain't going to God. you're going to go back to the ground to dust. And then you might be going back to the ground to dust, but I'm going to God. My spirit is going to God. I am going home. And when I go, I'm striving to go to God. I'm asking God to help me where he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, we're not living this life in vain. We're not. We're striving to go home to God. You know, that's when we make mistakes. We apologize to people. We're not perfect. I mean, we do wrong. The Bible says if you say that you haven't sinned, well, you're a liar. You ain't telling the truth. And we're striving to do the right thing. And Pastor always teaches us that when we pray, that God forgive us for our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. I mean, at the table of life, she's teaching the true word of God. When she teaches about wisdom, it comes from the Bible. Everything that she teaches comes from God. I mean, there is a God. There is a God. And this world will end. Like I said, I don't know how long this world's been here, but I know one day it's got to end. There's so much going on. Things that didn't happen in the Bible days are happening in our days. So this world has to come to an end. And it will. Life lesson, Psalm 109:27, that you may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. When we pray for someone's deliverance or for God to intervene in some situation, is it entirely appropriate to ask God to make it plain that what happens is no coincidence, but a direct answer to prayer? Sometimes you know that you know that you know that you know. I mean, it came from God. It really did. It's just like when I come back and my lights was tearing off. And it was 186 hours. You didn't have no 186 hours. But God pays the bill. And I know that I know that he paid that bill. He did. I mean, it had to come from God. God told me what to do, where to go. And everything just worked out accordingly. He said, your lights, ma'am, will be back on at 3:30. I wasn't here in town. I was gone to California for 3 months, so how could the light bill get paid? It didn't get paid. But I know God did it. I know God did it. It's just like something as small as the back of an earring, and you're looking for it, and you ask God, and God will let you know where it's at. Galatians 3:24, the law was our tool to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. God never intended that anyone tried to work their way to heaven, because you can't. Abraham couldn't, Moses couldn't, and neither could Paul. None of us can. The law shows us our need for a Savior who rescued us by grace. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, accepted our rightful condemnation and the punishment we deserve when he willingly went to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. He said, Lord, if this could be removed from me, he said it three times. He said, not my will, but let thy will be done. Let thy will be done. And God's will was done. God turned his back. And the punishment for a sinless man who done nothing but good, all of it was put on him. I said, my Lord and my God. He didn't do anything wrong. Everything he did was right. Tried to help the people, teach the people, heal the people, love on the people, give to the people, paid his taxes. Did nothing wrong. But everything, every single thing was put on his back. I mean, it's just like, you know, of someone that went to jail, and they didn't do, you always hear about that. They didn't do anything wrong because they looked like somebody else. They were accused and put in jail, like Mandela. He was put in jail for, 30 years? And people just do things. They think they're doing right, but they're not doing right. They accuse innocent people. Innocent people go to jail, like Jesus was innocent. He was innocent. Galatians 3:28. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You're all one. The Jews and the Gentiles are one. There's no big you or little bitty me. We're all one in Christ Jesus. God does not play favorites. He has no favorite sons or daughters. We all come to him with exactly the same level of need. He makes us into a single unit, the body of Christ. We are all the same. We are all one. We might be individuals, but we are all one. Jews, the Gentiles, we are all one in Christ Jesus. God does not play favorites, I'm his favorite child. No, we're all one. He said God does not play favorite. He has no favorite sons or daughters. We all come to him with exactly the same level of need. He makes us into a single unit. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. And, you know, this has just been good. Been good.
A great lesson. And, you know, all through it, praise. It says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. And that is what we're doing as we are speaking. We are praising God. We're telling God, thank you, Lord. You know, he blessed us. It says, and I remember in your words you read this morning, it says, so then those who are of faith are blessed. We believe in Abraham. We are blessed. We are part of the friends of God. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to praise him with all my heart, soul, and mind. I give him praise. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Well, my sister in Christ, your niece in Christ, your niece in blood. And it says this, good morning. Don't be afraid to shut a door. Come on now. Woo! When that season has ended, God already has a better one opened for you. Have a moving on Monday. We got to learn to move forward. We got to learn to continue walking with God. You got to learn to do that. You know, don't be afraid to shut a door. Season has ended. You know, and I had to come to realization that everything happens for a purpose and a reason. Because when God is getting ready to move you forward, he will close off some things. He will take you where you need to go. He will put you in the place of what I want to say, a blessing. He will bless you when you least expect it. And so as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it, have a moving on Monday, family, and keep trusting God. Don't worry about that door that is shut. It's shut for a reason, because God's got something better for you. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep knowing that there's only one God. And we are his children, and he is our friend. And we will praise him with our mouth. Mother Valerie, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name. Family, I pray for all of you, asking God to cover your family, cover all of you as you travel, the highways and byways, church announcements. I will not be blogging on Thursday. I will be, hopefully Mother Valerie will be doing it, will be able to take over and do the entire show, because at this time on Thursday, I will be on an airplane. But I will be talking with Mother Valerie, and we will hopefully still be able to go forth. Mother Valerie will take you to the throne. And not the phone. But we got to get on the phone to get to the throne. But anyway, we thank you. We praise God for you. And we love each and every one of you. As they say, I love you to the moon and the and beyond. Thanking God for all of you. Mother, I love you, love you, love you. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And here it is, a beautiful day. I'm going to get outside and do something. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.